This is News Talk.
The Irish Independent has a front page story, and if ever there was a surefire way to annoy people, it's when you talk about TD's pay. So the headline is, pay hike puts TD's salaries near Celtic Tiger level. The pay of TDs will rise close to Celtic Tiger levels next week when a wage hike pushes their earnings above €98,000 a year. They're going to get a 2% pay increase, which will bring their annual pay near its highest point, which was €100,000 just before the recession in 2008. Not just TDs who are getting the pay hike, senators' pay will also increase to €69,470 a year due to the wage hike. Now, it's fair to say that this is all because of a public sector pay deal. So it's not the same as saying, oh, they're giving themselves a pay rise and saying, aren't we great? This is all part of a public sector pay deal, but it's just one of those things that really annoys a lot of people. Senators, by the way, back in 2008 were earning €70,134. So it's only about £500 or £600 less than what they were earning at the peak. This is according to new figures released by the Department of Public Expenditure. Now, Taoiseach Micheál Martin and his ministers have all waived the increase, which is due out tomorrow week, and they're taking a 10% pay cut. But the pay rise for most other Oireachtas politicians will cost €264 million a year. So anyway, there'll be a lot of reaction to that story later today, let me tell you. Also, as Shane was mentioning, coming up on News Talk Breakfast, advisors for junior ministers. This is covered inside the Irish Independent. The government has signed off on 10 new special advisors for ministers of state. And this follows weeks of confusion over whether they're actually even going to get their advisors or not. There was some talk, by the way, that ministers would have to share a pool of advisors. But anyway, yesterday the cabinet agreed to give 10 junior ministers advisors. A government spokesperson said the extra advisors were being appointed based on the workload and complexity of each minister's department. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael get 4 advisors each, and the Green Party get 2. How much will they be paid? Well, they'll start off at €67,659, but the advisors' pay can go up to €83,740. I saw something very funny on Twitter last night where someone was saying, not about these advisors, but about government advisors in general, and they said, how come government advisors never advise that you don't need more advisors? But anyway, they obviously feel that there is a need, and there are some pretty important junior ministries, in fairness, but they're getting their advisors there, and a lot of reaction, a lot of criticism. Sinn Féin's Mary Lou MacDonald will be on News Talk Breakfast to talk about that very shortly. On the Irish Independent front page also, health officials will recommend imposing significant further restrictions in Dublin if the situation with COVID-19 deteriorates further over the coming days. They have a big interview with Dr. Killian de Gascon, who is obviously a member of NPHET. And wasn't it interesting in the news at 6 o'clock there, Sam McConkie suggesting that some of the counties should go or could go to level 5, not even level 4. There's only talk at the moment of going to level 3, but he's saying they might need to go to level 5, which is the highest point, as we know, on the scale of COVID restrictions. Irish Times also has a front page story about COVID. Coronavirus should be let spread among people below 60 in a controlled way. I'd love to hear what you think of this, because this is going to be discussed a lot today. It's kind of the suggestion of a bit of herd immunity here, and that people under 60 typically, although not always the case, but typically those who are younger don't suffer the same effects from COVID-19. As I say, that's not always the case. There are people under 60 who've had devastating effects, and in some cases people have died under the age of 60. But this is Sweden's former chief epidemiologist, Dr. Johan Giesecke, who'll recommend to the Dáil COVID committee later that COVID-19 be let spread through the population alongside a programme that concentrates on the old and frail, and that frequent tests of staff and residents in care homes takes place. I get the sense this is going to be a growing argument in this country, that we have some level of herd immunity. Do you think it's a good idea? Would you like to see it? Or do you think we should continue with the way we're going and how we're trying to control the virus? Just one final COVID-19 story, which comes from the Telegraph this morning, staying with COVID. And it's really interesting. I have to say, out and about recently, I've noticed a lot more people wearing these visors, you know, where you can see their full face. They have it over their face, kind of looks like they're on beekeeping or something. But anyway, the world's fastest supercomputer has found that plastic face shields are almost completely ineffective at trapping breath aerosols, which now raises questions over their ability to stop the spread of COVID-19. Modelling from this supercomputer showed that visors failed to prevent almost 100% of airborne droplets of less than 5 micrometres in size from escaping, and even larger droplets found their way around the shields and into the air. It's the whole idea that obviously you're covering your nose and your mouth, but the bottom underneath your mouth is still exposed and droplets can come out from below that and spread around. I don't know, I think we're going to see a lot of people saying maybe don't have visors at all, maybe go with the face masks. In fairness, Dr. Ronan Glynn has already said, like a month ago, that people should be wearing masks, that visors are less effective. Now we have proof from this supercomputer. Move on to the Irish Examiner this morning, and they're talking about partners of expectant mothers who will continue to be excluded from scans and early labour in some regions because not all hospitals will be able to include them under new government plans. And basically what they're saying is that there's a postcode lottery at the moment, that if your partner is expecting a baby, you may or may not be able to go in for some of those scans, or indeed if your partner goes into early labour, and it all depends on where you live. It's all about local circumstances. Plans are due to be announced later this week, which will introduce nationwide guidelines on maternity hospitals. But now a spokesperson for the Taoiseach said an end to the regional differences cannot be fully guaranteed. Aoife Moore is a story in the front of the Examiner that over two-thirds of female senators in the Shannon have been sexually harassed, which is a rather concerning story. It was an anonymous survey carried out by the Examiner, and of those 17, so basically 17 of 19 female senators replied to the survey, and of those 17, 13 have been sexually harassed at some point in their lives, 14 have been subjected to a sexist insult from a man while working in politics, and 16 have been abused or trolled with sexist insults on social media. And one elected representative who's worked in Leinster House for years said the figures are the tip of the iceberg. And she says, this is just fascinating when you think about where laws are actually made in this country. She says, I used to get text messages on my outfit or telling me I was lovely or it was great to see you, but nicer to watch you walk away. Here I am, very young, in my dream job in Dáil Éireann, having to deal with leering men, and you think, is this all I am? Afraid of getting into lifts with people. Just frightening. Irish Daily Mirror, Maddie suspect probed over rape of Irish woman. The prime suspect in Madeleine McCann's disappearance is now also to be quizzed about the rape of an Irish woman in Portugal. Irish Daily Star front page, Gardaí stopped 75 hits in feuds. I suppose this is encouraging for people who think that, you know, the Gardaí could be doing more the whole time when it comes to gangland crime. They have the evidence today that 75 hits have been stopped. And a senior officer, John O'Driscoll, Assistant Commissioner, says in the Star today that the Kinahans can't even recruit gunmen anymore. They regret getting involved. It's destroyed their drugs business. Now, two stories to do with nostalgia, certainly for me this morning, and I'd love to hear what you think about this. One makes me really sad, I have to say, and just for a personal reason, because I lived beside a phone box. But many public payphones are going to disappear from Irish towns and villages. This is in the Irish Examiner this morning, because Comreg has signalled it no longer require air to operate and maintain them from 2021. And obviously it's a very understandable decision, because there ain't that many people using public payphones anymore. So Comreg has recommended that the designation of a telecom firm to provide public payphones is no longer necessary or appropriate. This is all because of mobile phones. Mobile phones have killed off public payphones. And I was surprised to read that there are just 456 public payphones in this country. And you go from back in 2009 with 3,500. So look at that, over 10 years, from 3,500 to just over 400. Also, some counties such as Leitrim, Roscommon, Donegal, Mayo, Westmeath and Meath now no longer have one single public payphone in the county. As I say, like I sound about 100 when I say this, but I lived beside a public payphone for years and we used to answer the phone for the neighbours. So, you know, they mightn't have a phone in their house, So someone would ring, a member of their family would ring. We'd run outside, answer the phone, run across the road and get them for the phone. So just a little bit of nostalgia. But anyway, no more, it would seem. And a final piece of nostalgia for you, in case you didn't hear, The Den is coming back. This is in the Herald this morning. It'll be a blast from the past for the boys and girls who grew up watching The Den, because the classic children's programme is making a return after 10 years off the air. Ray Darcy confirmed the show will be back every Sunday at 6:30 on RT1 starting from November. And the presenter made the announcement alongside puppets Zig and Zag, who made their first appearance on The Den 33 years ago. Of course, they got huge then because they went off to The Big Breakfast and became big celebrities, but they're back on The Den. And I can tell you, also joining them is troublemaker Dustin the Turkey, and he's going to cause a bit of trouble on this radio station this morning because he's joining us later on News Talk Breakfast. No sign of Bosco. I know he wasn't really part of The Den. Love to see Bosco back. And no mention also of Socky too. So we'll see if Dustin will tell us more about Socky on News Talk Breakfast. Anyway, that's our look at the morning papers.
On 106 to 108 FM and at newstalk.com. This is News Talk.